We welcome you this afternoon to the service of thanksgiving for the life and the testimony of our brother Roy Ray. As most will know, the burial service has already taken place at the Ballygowan Cemetery at 2 o'clock today. But we thank you for coming and sharing with us in this afternoon service. Each of Roy's family members and friends is very appreciative that you've been able to attend today, to express your sympathy to them and to assure them of your thoughts and prayers at this time. We are met in God's presence to acknowledge His sovereignty in death as we do in life, and to seek His word today for the challenge and comfort of our hearts. Our Lord Jesus, among the many comforting words that He uttered, said in John 11, 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." It's God's word and His promise alone that brings both consolation and challenge to us today, and especially at such a time as this. To Roy's wife, Lisa, to his daughters, Jessica and Sarah, sons-in-law, Johnny and Chris, to grandchildren, Josiah, Jacob and Joseph, and his sister, Marion, and all the extended family and the circle of friends, we assure you of our prayers as a church today, and we would want to extend to you our sympathy. We'll turn to the order of service, or the words will be appearing on screen as well, we trust. And the first hymn today is "Blessed Assurance." Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And I reckon I can hear Roy sing this. But then that's because I heard him many times sing. That was one of the features that I engaged in when I came here to Martyrs about 8 years ago. Whenever, at whatever time, you would have come into the church building, and Roy was the caretaker here for many years, and certainly at that time, you might have been just sitting all peacefully and quietly, and there was an eruption of song around you. And I mean full volume, high decibel, as the latest hymn that was on his heart and mind was sounded out. And it was joyful, and it was welcome. But now he's singing the new song today in surroundings that we just can only anticipate and expect and desire and be envious about. And he will be right in the middle of all of that enthusiastic singing. Let's stand together as we sing this opening praise, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine."
Lord,
may be seated. Thank you for singing that in a way that befitted and befits Roy's memory. We'll bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and gracious Lord, we thank Thee that we're found together this afternoon in the presence of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise Thee, Lord, for a God who is sovereign, who is one who looks after us in all of our ways. We thank Thee, Lord, that there is not a thought, even in our heart or mind, but it is known to Thee altogether. And we come before one who, even before we were formed in the womb, as the psalmist delineated in that Psalm 139, Thou dost know all about us. Thou dost know our down-sitting or uprising, understands our thought afar off. And so we acknowledge that Thou art the omniscient God, the one that knows all things. We praise Thee as well that Thou art omnipotent in power, that Thou hast said that all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. And Lord, all the doctrine and all the theology and all the Bible teaching that we may or may not have accumulated over the years, we thank Thee that for Roy today, that while he reveled in it here on earth and devoured sermon audio and came along to the meetings here and attended other churches in the past and took on board what he was being taught from Thy word, but Father, we thank Thee that he was a true Berean. And they, we know, were commended in the book because they searched the Scriptures and they checked and they cross-referenced and they made sure that what they heard from the pulpit resounded and squared with what the Scriptures of truth were actually teaching. And so we thank Thee for an erudite servant of Christ. We thank Thee for one who knew the book and who knew it in an extremely extraordinary fashion. We thank Thee for one who was able to quote the Word of God. And Lord, we thank Thee for one who lived out the book. And Father, we understand, even as we were thinking in our morning service, that yes, it's good to be reverent regarding the Word of God, but how much better is it to be obedient, and how vital it is not only to revere it, but to obey it in all that we do and all that we say. That's our challenge. And we thank Thee that with all the grace that was given to him, that Roy aspired to live up to that holy challenge. We do pray for his family today, particularly for Lisa, that Thou will come near to her, and we pray that Thou will envelop her in the arms of Thy care, Thy compassion, Thy divine sympathy, Thy help. We thank Thee, Lord, that the consolations of God are not small with us, but rather are large, that Thy mercies are many, that we can say, great is Thy faithfulness. Those mercies of Thine, they are new every morning. And so we pray that she will know this day and all days beyond that in grace that I will give her, she will know mercies new every morning. We pray as well for Jessica and Sarah, for Johnny and Christopher, for all the family circle today, that I will lift them up in great grace and in mercy before Thy throne of grace. Lord, we thank Thee, that's why Thou hast appointed that throne, to which we can come boldly. And Thou hast said we shall find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. And so may that be obtained and may that be found today, because it is a time of need and a time when we lose one that is highly loved and dear to us. It is an especial time of need for this family today. And we ask that therefore Thy presence will be known. And as we thought around the graveside already today, we pray that Thou wilt be to them as Thou didst act towards those two disconsolate disciples who were trudging their way home to Emmaus. The bottom of their world had fallen out over the sudden death of their friend and their expected deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior and Redeemer. And Lord, we thank Thee that we read Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. And so travel with this family. Encourage them every step of the way. May they know Thy great provision for them, and may they know what it is to be sheltered safely in the arms of God. Come, we pray, and be with all who are gathered here today. We thank thee for the great expression of support. We thank thee for their attendance, saying to the family that we're with you in your grief. We are sympathizing with you today. We are praying for you before the throne of God. And Lord, we ask that thou wilt undertake for all who are gathered. We don't know, we can't possibly even predict the kind of burdens that people in this congregation today physically hear, those that may be tuned in over the internet, the kind of burdens that they're bearing, the kind of trials that they're facing. We know that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, and those sparks are well distributed and dispersed through our world and therefore through this congregation too. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt encourage everyone, build them up in the faith, help them when they cannot trace thee still to trust thee and to hold on and to know that the anchor that they have is safe and sure because it's anchored to Christ, the solid rock. The rock that followed Israel in the wilderness, that rock was Christ. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt go with us and go before us even and be that cloudy pillar, be that fiery pillar, be the one who was with us by day and also by night, directing, and not only directing, but guarding us. Come and answer prayer. Bring us to the cross today. If we miss the cross, we have missed everything. If we miss preaching Christ crucified, then we have wasted an opportunity. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant that we in our hearts and minds will be overcome by the wonder and the splendor of thy provision for us and thy pardon to us and the great paradise of God that is being prepared in heaven for all of those who in faith and repentance turn from sin and unto Christ and will be ready to join together with Roy and that heavenly host singing the praises of him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Answer our cry. Travel with us today. Every moment of this service we ask. Bless, prevail upon, support, and challenge each one of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name and for our good today. Amen. This stage I'm going to call on Pastor Johnny Omerod, and you will know his position within the family as the husband of Jessica, and he's now currently the pastor of Lurgan Baptist Church, and he will pay a tribute and read some scripture to us now. Thank you.
Take a reading this afternoon from the book of Isaiah in the chapter 55. The book of Isaiah in the chapter 55. And it may seem an unorthodox passage perhaps to turn to at such an occasion, but the reason will become very clear, even in due course. "O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, I shall call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And so reads the word of the Lord. At the outset of my remarks today, I wish to give thanks even to the church here for all of their support and care over recent times, and indeed for the love and care that they've shown to both Roy and Lisa down through the years, especially to Dr. Brown for his pastoral care. We deeply appreciate it, even as a family circle. But as I come to just remark a little bit upon Roy's life, I share a little personal anecdote to begin with. For one of the first times that I met Roy, he bounded across the dining room table and he grabbed me by the throat. And it was all because that day at dinner, nerves had got the better of me and I had spilt some gravy from the lamb dinner down my tie. And there he was, being the dutiful soon-to-be father-in-law, wiping and cleaning my tie. But I use the word bounded. Why? Because this summed up Roy Ray. He was a man with boundless energy, a spring in his step, a smile on his lips, and a word for everyone. This marked Roy's life, for as we have had recounted to us, even in his youthful days, he was very active in sport, playing rugby, tennis, and football. And he continued an interest in sport even on up until recent times, and especially following football because of Sarah's love for Arsenal. He was well-liked, and he was welcomed also in his working days. Many people across East Belfast simply knew him as the man from the Prue, as he did his house calls because of his job from Prudential Insurance. He is remembered for his witty and intelligent conversation, always a charmer, always ready even to speak a cheery word. And I myself have heard on different times even those who knew him. And during the course of my ministry in Grove Baptist, there was even many that had the occasion to have Roy in their home because of his work with the Prudential Insurance. And indeed, my own grandparents knew him because of this as well. But Roy was also a good neighbor. Many in the last few days have recalled with affection his Christian example. He always had the time to speak and to help everyone and anyone. And in his prime, some of the gardens around his beloved home in Murrick Park received his care and attention as he helped the elderly and aging neighbours who were around him. But it is, of course, his life, his work, and his ministry here at the Martyrs that so many will recall the best. Roy was caretaker here for over 25 years and took great pride in his duties of polishing the brass, of vacuuming up, of setting up, and of tearing down, as well as, of course, engaging in many extracurricular activities, such as posting out Dr. Paisley's books all around the world, or indeed of answering the church office phone when the late Mrs. May Burns and others weren't around, or of turning into a very zealous and cheery tour guide to the many visitors who called to see around. Roy's love for music has already been noted, and especially his love for hymns. And it was during this time as caretakers that really came to the fore. For many breaks were taken from the work to sit down at the piano and to echo forth a hymn. And indeed, many have noted even as they entered the building, they didn't have to search for him. They simply followed the sound of his singing and they were able to locate him as he sang day by day. But I also believe it's not wrong of me to say that Roy's greatest work in ministry here was that of a prayer warrior. He knew how to pray. And when Roy prayed, you loved to listen. You had no idea what was going to come out. You had no idea where the prayer was going to go. Because Roy truly prayed as led by the Spirit. He was very good at recalling names, places, causes, and needs that many had long since forgotten. Roy's prayer life was underpinned by a knowledge of Scripture, a knowledge of Scripture that I have not found an equal to. No one I know has the ability to recall Scripture like Roy could. No one has the intricate knowledge of some of the most complex passages in Scripture, and yet also make them relevant and applicable. And I believe that Roy's motto went something like this: to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and the high soul takes the high road, and the low soul takes the low. And in between, on the misty flats, the souls drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth he where his soul shall go. Were I so tall to reach the pole, or grasp the ocean with my span, I must be measured by my soul. The mind is the standard of the man. Both of those quotations were found in various emails and text messages that he had sent to Jessica and I down through the years, correspondence which contained many ramblings which served to keep us up to date, but also full of wisdom, and always at least one scripture quotation. Roy chose the high road, and Roy chose to fill his mind with Scripture. And that's why, as we turn to Isaiah 55 today, we've read through verses that he recited so often. And during a time in our lives together as a couple, we had occasion to live with Roy and Lisa for a number of months, and you could hear these verses sometimes being recited at 5:30 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning. But these were very familiar verses that Roy quoted so often. And it was this knowledge of Scripture that made his prayers stand out and stand apart. Scripture permeated his prayers. Scripture saturated his prayers. Run-of-the-mill words and phrases had no place in Roy's prayers. The church here at Martyrs don't need me to tell them that they are now one prayer warrior down. And I know that I have lost someone who fought for me in the place of prayer. I know it because he told me. The Martyrs will miss Roy. I will miss Roy. His big sister Marion will miss Roy, and her husband Derek, both of whom he was so fond of as they were of him. Josiah, Jacob, and Joseph will miss him also. But undoubtedly those who will miss him the most are Sarah, Jessica, and his beloved Lisa. Roy's health had deteriorated in recent years, and the last decade had brought a hernia, triple heart bypass, leukemia, prostate cancer, heart failure, circulation problems, and an overactive thyroid. But together, he and Lisa muddled through. And in a recent conversation with Jessica, he simply stated, "I don't know what I'd do without your mummy." Roy Ray was passionate. Roy Ray was headstrong. Roy Ray was unpredictable. But Roy Ray was warm, loyal, kind, generous, and faithful. Roy knew his God personally, experientially, intimately. And now Roy Ray enjoys his master's reward. For us, it's not goodbye. It's good night.
Very much like to thank our brother Johnny for that tribute. And anyone who knew Roy to a pretty good degree will be able to associate with, identify the phrases and the sentences that were used in composing that excellent tribute. I'm going to read from the book of Revelation, simply because I believe I have to. Roy loved the book so much. Probably wanted me to preach a series on it sometime, and that may come, but obviously not in his lifetime. But he certainly would have loved and did love this book. And we're turning to chapter 7 of Revelation and beginning to read at verse 9 and reading off the society of which he now is a member and some of the activity in which he is now engaged. Revelation 7, verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Then turning back into the book of the Psalms, and we're looking at Psalm 121, which says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore." And it is that Psalm 121 that we want to look at today in bringing this address to you now from God's Word. It has been said, here is a psalm to turn to when shadows deepen. And that's exactly why we're turning to it today, because shadows have deepened, and so we're turning to this psalm that is well suited for this particular occasion. It is maybe a little ironic that I should turn to what is a very familiar portion in the Word of God, and people who know the Word will know Psalm 121, probably know it back to front, will be able to quote it, and I know that Roy would have been able to quote that for sure. And I say it's a little ironic that I'm turning to such a familiar passage of God's Word. Johnny talked about unorthodox. And whenever you would have heard, and you were attending the prayer meetings here in the Martyrs, you'd have been all too well aware of this happening week by week, that Roy was capable of quoting those less commonly known scriptures. And I don't mean that he just going in with a verse here, chosen a verse over there, and some isolated texts were floating around. He could rhyme off a passage, maybe 5, 6, 7 verses, all consecutively and from beginning to end, without a mistake at all. It was quite phenomenal. And again, our brother mentioned that he had never witnessed the like of it, and I certainly in ministry or beyond that, and before my time in ministry, I have never seen anything quite like it. So he was a student of Scripture, and that didn't come automatically, those quotations. That was the reflection of the fact that he spent in private vast amounts of time searching through the Word of God, committing it to memory. John Wesley once claimed to be the man of one book, that one book, of course, being the Holy Scriptures. Then it was said of John Bunyan that if you would prick him anywhere, you'll find that his very blood is bibline, that the Bible is flowing through his veins, in other words. And when you pick up Bunyan's classic, The Pilgrim's Progress, and you see all of the allusions to Scripture that are on every single page, then you will realize why they described him as one whose blood was bibline. And Roy's enthusiasm for and excitement in Scripture, that remains for each one of us today a target that we should be aiming at. It's a challenge to us. How well do I know the Word? How much do I love it? What time have I devoted in my life? Because will we not be feeling when we get to heaven that we'll have wanted to have devoted much more time to the study of the Word of God than we did? All of this means today that it would have been one of the simplest tasks in the world for Roy Ray to have quoted Psalm 121 from start to finish. Now, let me give you a title for it, and you've already seen that the hint of the title was on screen, Help from the Hills. Or we could be more specific and go for a better title and say, well, Help from the Creator of the Hills. That's how we'll term it. Or Roy might have been tempted just to push me a little bit further, and he wouldn't be behind the door on that one, and he would say, well, Help from the Creator of the Hills of Israel, because it's the Israelite hills we're talking about and the mountains round about Jerusalem, etc., that's in view here in Psalm 121. You will know that he had a huge interest in and love for the nation of Israel. In fact, I got a text from him, many texts, but back on the 21st of May 2020, and he said, just noticed, the mandarin oranges I so enjoy are from Israel. Reminded me of your Bible study course in 2014. I couldn't have given you the date, but he can. Israel's fruit shall fill the world. Great message again last night. And then I noted also on the 26th of April 2020, he had written to me, whoa, your comments about President Trump, most welcome, friend to Israel and to babies in the womb, an unusual politician. And in many ways, I was written by a very unique man. This help, in its source, looking into this 121st Psalm, that's the first thing we want to note. This help in its source. And right at the beginning, in verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 121, what do we read? I will lift up mine eyes. Now, you could stop there. And you could say, those words sum up Roy Ray. I will lift up mine eyes. Already reference has been made to his ability in prayer. He was no stranger to supplication. And he will be incredibly missed in this congregation for the lack that we now have going forward of his prayers. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so here's the picture. The psalmist is scanning around the hillsides that are all about him. And higher than those hills themselves, he's looking beyond them because he knew there's no help here in rock and mud and clay and so on. In fact, the hills could well at any time been bristling with enemies, but he's looking beyond them to the hands who made them, the hands of the Almighty God himself. And as a matter of relief and a matter of rejoicing, he says, he is the source of my help. So that spoke to the psalmist, those mountains, about the force or the power of God. And if we quote the words of Isaiah, the chapter 14, verse 12, speaking of God, he's the one who weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Put into that kind of perspective, is he not great, infinite in strength, breathtakingly powerful, and cannot the one who made those hills help us today? And in the middle of your grief and the middle of your heartache, the Lord can help you and certainly shall. I received, and it's not all going to be about Roy's text messages, but I must quote this one. Came in on Christmas Day 2021, and I have to quote it given the fact that Brother Johnny has just read this very passage in Isaiah 55 and the verse 12, and that's the reference in the text. On this dank Christmas Day, may you be found rejoicing. He's alive forevermore. May it fall out to you as if the mountains and hills have broken forth into singing and the trees of the field do clap their hands, and to your dear wife also. Now those hills, they present us with a picture of the force of the Lord. They also underline something else. They're enduring those mountains, and so they flag up his faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. So you're an Israelite, and to your mind, nothing is more firm, nothing is more continuing, nothing is more stable than your mountains. Be it Mount Gilboa, be it Mount Carmel, be it the Mount of Olives. Stable mountains. Who is so faithful as our God? And the answer is no one. We're told in Lamentations 3 in the verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. New Testament passage, 2 Timothy 2, the verse 13, and the joyful announcement there is, he abideth faithful. And so if everything else is slipping away from under your feet, and you're wondering, where can I find the way ahead? Who can I rely upon? Where can I depend? The Lord alone, the force of God, the faithfulness of God, that's help. The only real help we have in its source. But then secondly, think of this help in its substance, because we have that in the psalm as well. God gives help, but what kind of help? What does he supply? Well, he promises, we have it in the psalm here, safeguard. Because the psalmist notes in verse 5 of Psalm 121, the Lord is thy keeper. Six times over in the psalm, the word keep or preserve appears in our English Bible. It's a most interesting word. This word keep or preserve, it comes from another, well, Hebrew word, as the Old Testament all came from, and it means, in the Hebrew, the eyelids. So really, you could take Psalm 121 in the verse 5, and you could read it like this. The Lord is thine eyelids. He is your eyelids. What picture does that conjure up? He's one who protects us all around. And in another Psalm 125, the opening verses, we read, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. Those who really are God's people, united to him by repentance and by faith, trusting only in Christ for their soul's salvation and for their safe eternity, they are the apple of his eye, Zechariah 2 in the verse 8, and he covers them with his eyelids. Now, in anybody's definition or understanding, that has to be secure and superb protection. Look up some details. Google's always a master on this. Look them up on the human eyelid. You'll be amazed at the construction of it. Very fascinating. From the structure of the skin, the eyelid is the thinnest skin in all of the body, to the layers that are various from superficial to deep, the sensory nerve supply that is there, the blood supply that exists, the muscles that operate at all. It's an incredible structure. And so the psalmist here, thinking of the great care that God exercises for his own people, he says here that he is his keeper. He keeps him. He's his eyelids. He surrounds him. And so he promises safeguard. Also, he promises shade. You'll find in verse 5 that The text goes on to say, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. The right hand is the fighting hand. I was wondering today, was Roy ever interested in boxing? But you heard the sports that he was interested in, and boxing wasn't mentioned. But maybe sometimes rugby comes close to that. Just depends what goes on in the scrum there. But here we have the fighting hand, the Lord thy shield upon thy right hand. It's the hand that bears the sword. And the Lord is our shield. He carries a shield before us. And he guards our right arm as we fight the enemy. And so what we have here in this picture, first of all, God is our keeper, surrounding eyelids. He is also our shield. That's adding up to double protection. And that kind of protection is always very welcome. Help in its source. Then help also in its substance. And then finally, we have this help in its sureness, our surety. God has the power to help us, we know that. This help adds up to double protection. The psalmist has established that as well. But how can we be certain that this help is available at all times? How can we be sure that just when I and just when you need this kind of help, it is readily available and it is guaranteed to be there? Well, we can note again the terms of Psalm 121 in the verse 3 and 4. We are told, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, this is how he does it. When? He shall neither slumber nor sleep. He is always awake, even when we are asleep. He's always looking after us. That's why I can be sure his help will be there exactly when I need it. In ancient times, whenever an army would have been entrenched or encamped, but they needed to keep awake because they had that fear of an imminent attack coming in from the enemy, usually they had a chief watchman. And that watchman's business was to call out loudly, send a signal, maybe blow a whistle, and in occasions they did it every 15 minutes. But despite that precaution, that man wasn't foolproof against sleep. He could well have had sleep crawling up on him, stealing over him, overcoming him, taking him out of that very prominent and vital position, rendering it useless. But here, we are told that God does not fall asleep. You'll not catch him asleep at his post. So help for the child of God is sure during all events. Verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The help of God is sure in all exertions. In the verse 8, we're told, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Johnny has already referred to the fact that Brother Roy was very energetic, always on the move, and that's certainly true. He covered a huge amount of ground on his feet. And if you're a caretaker in this church, then you will be covering a large amount of ground, as Peter will testify as well. And if you're into racking up the steps, then you'll have about 10,000 done every day before lunchtime, and the meter will be ticking over very nicely for you. But I remember him telling me one time, and Roy's family were already off on holiday and they were down in Ballywalter. He's back here in Belfast and he had this bright idea. I'm going to walk all the way from Belfast to Ballywalter, catch up with them. And he did maybe a day or so after they had already begun their holiday. He took his dog with him. I checked it on maps. It's over 24 miles he walked with the dog that day. And when his dad saw him coming in with the dog, he scolded him and he said, the paws of that dog will be burning off it. And sure enough, they were. And he had to take the poor dog down to the beach and into the water to try and get it cooled down and help it for the next day. Devout Jews will keep a small metal cylinder fixed to the right-hand doorpost in their homes. And in that cylinder, there's parchment, and the words of Deuteronomy, the chapter 6, verse 4 to 9, will be there. The words of Deuteronomy 11, verse 13 through to 21 will also be there. And as they come in and out of the house, they'll touch the cylinder. And they'll recite, as they do this, the final verse of Psalm 121. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. He helps us during all events, in all exertions. He helps us, we're told here as well, to all and at all extremes. In verse 6, the sun and also the moon, they're mentioned, pointing us to the extremes of heat and cold. The Lord will be there in all circumstances in life. And we're also told in verse 7, He will help us and preserve us from all evils. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. So what am I being told today? What's our encouragement from this psalm today? Well, consistently, right down this center of the psalm here, there is running this truth. The Lord is able to take care of any and every problem for His people. That's why we sing on occasions, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And many a burden over the years for himself and for many others, Roy took to the Lord and he left it there. There's another thing here about the certainty of this help. It lasts for all eternity. Verse 7 and verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. That's the most important part of you. It's one thing looking after the body, but you have an eternal soul. And that's the most precious thing you have. And you need to make sure that your affections have been nailed to the cross, that your heart and soul is right with God, that you're ready for eternity. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul even for evermore. This is the most vital security. Held in the grasp of grace, enjoying the pleasures of an everlasting salvation. Roy Ray had the kind of confidence that the Apostle Paul had when he said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He knew where he was headed, that the God who had saved him here in life was going to preserve him through life and bring him safely home to the harbor of heaven. What about you? Have you got that assurance today? Again, he messaged me back on the 12th of July of 2020, not about the celebrations of that day, but he said, you must hear Jack Holcomb on YouTube. It was many, many years since I ever heard of Jack Holcomb, but that was recommended maybe during my college days, some 30-odd years ago. And he says, try When My Life's Work Is Ended. And so I did. And again last night, I listened to Jack Holcomb again singing When My Life's Work Is Ended. That led on to others, a hymn that I'm not so familiar with, Why Should He Love Me So? Love sent my Savior to die in my stead. Why should He love me so? Meekly to Calvary's cross He was led. Why should He love me so? Nails pierced His hands and His feet for my sin. Why should He love me so? He suffered sore my salvation to win. Why should He love me so? Because of that love that showed up crimson on Calvary, it is well with Roy Ray's soul today. That hymn that he recommended, listen to that. It contains this line, as redeemed by His side, I shall stand. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore. Our help in Christ is strong. It is substantial. It is saving. It is secure. I pray if you don't know it, that you will come to know it today. Is it any wonder that person quoted at the beginning said what they did? Here is a psalm to turn to. When shadows deepen, and now that they have, let's dwell in for a time in our own private meditations and reading. Psalm 121, and pray to the one who can and does preserve the souls of his people. Lord, save my soul. Keep it safe for all eternity in thy blessed hand. Roy draws consolation and comfort, did right through his life from this psalm, and now knows the blessed fulfillment of it in the glory land today. We're going to sing a very appropriate hymn. Haven't sung it for a little time. Blessed Lily of the Valley, oh, how fair is he! He is mine, I am his. Hymn of testimony, sweeter than the angel's music is his voice to me. He is mine, I am his. Let's stand together, please, again as we sing.
Oh,
bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for those times when on earth we are spiritually on the mountaintop and we can sing with enthusiasm Thy praises. We can say, O God of Bethel, by whose hand Thy people still are led. We thank Thee for helping us through this weary pilgrimage. We thank Thee, Lord, even in the latter years of Roy's life, when the journey became difficult, for supporting him, surrounding him, being the eyelids and the guard to him that he needed at that time, for being the same for Lisa and for the family. Pray that in all days to come, they will know the blessed protection that the psalmist was rejoicing in, that so blessed his heart, encouraged his mind, quickened his step, stabilized his walk. Lord, there will be those who tune into this meeting. They don't have the Lord as their security or their source of help. Well, trouble comes, they flounder. We pray that they will hear Thy voice, come unto me. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That they will hear Thy voice. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. To all who have sought Thee, Thou never saidst no. Thou wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Encourage our hearts in Thy word today. Give us the passion for the book that Roy had, the joy and praise that he possessed. And may we then soldier on to meet the King. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land as his now does, that is very far off. Come and answer prayer. Surround us with Thy love. Lift us up in Thy mercy. Bless every heart with Thy great salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are light refreshments that will be served immediately after the service now upstairs. To get there, you would go through these doors, but you will most likely be going through the front door because the family will be greeting you there on your way out, and then you could travel round the side of the building and in through the first brown door that you come across, and then either up the stairs or the lifts, and that will get you to floor 2, and the light refreshments are there. Thank you again for coming and showing such solid support for the family in their hour of need today. Thank you.